Well, darkness is uncomfortable, isn't it? Darkness, the absence of light, is unsettling. There's something about it that makes us uneasy. We can't see our surroundings as well. Our minds wander into the unknown. It makes us want to turn the lights back on. Whether it's a small child and a nightlight that they want before bed, or whether it's the light that goes out by the campfire, or whether it's the guy at church on Christmas Eve talking in the dark. It's unsettling. It's uncomfortable. We see the Bible talks about darkness, the spiritual darkness that symbolizes and represents evil. It represents the things that are harmful. It's where things go to hide. It represents the spiritual captivity that we have because of sin. It represents spiritual death without Christ. The scriptures say that without Christ, that we love the darkness rather than the light, and we crave it. We crave it. We want to stay in the darkness like the cricket on the back porch. It runs from the light when the light is turned on. But I'm going to guess in a dark room that you've fixed your eyes as you've opened your eyes on the light that is present. The sole light source in this room right now, these Advent candles, because it reminds us of a penetrating truth. Christ's light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You see, it's Christ's light and Christ's light alone that brings hope and faith and a promise. It's Christ's light and Christ's soul light alone that brings joy and peace that can't be extinguished. I want you to sit in the dark. I wanted you to sit in the dark to understand the very real reality of life, that Christ's light is the only light that can be brought to your heart. It's the only light in this world. And while we sit in the dark, can I ask you this question this evening? In the darkness of our sin, in the darkness of this world, are our eyes as fixed on Jesus as they are on these candles that illumines the darkness in this room right now? Because only from him comes the sole source of light to your heart in this world. It's Christ who turns the light on where we can see. And also Rick Hap, who's running the AV. Well, I've shared with you some truth about the darkness in the darkness, but let me give you some truth about the light. See, the scriptures describe the light as God himself, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness. The scriptures go on to say and also describe Christ as the very light of the world. And then he says to his own followers, those who have trusted in him, that we are to be the light in this dark world. That as a church, we're supposed to be a city set on a hill so the dark world can see us and then see Christ. And as believers in Christ, he's left us here to illumine the truth of himself to this dark world. And then last, he calls us to walk in light, to walk in the purity of holiness. This is how the scripture uses the idea and the truth of light. And maybe you ask, well, how does that relate to Christmas? We're at a Christmas Eve service. One of the central motifs that you see through the Old Testament, particularly in the book of Isaiah, is the prophet's use of the idea of the coming Messiah and the light that he would bring. We read earlier one of those passages from Isaiah chapter 9, and let me read part of it again. Isaiah chapter 9, speaking of the people of God, says this: the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It's interesting that the Old Testament points us to the light of the Messiah, but as we've been learning over the last few weeks, the book of Matthew and the book of Luke point us kind of in an earthly viewpoint of Jesus' coming. We saw the anticipation of Jesus' coming through the bloodline of Christ in Matthew 1, and then we see his arrival in Matthew 2, and we see in Luke chapter 2 all the details. We see Mary and Joseph, we see the shepherds, we see the angels, we see the light shining in the darkness, we see heaven worshiping. We see the shepherds worshiping. We see the response, and that's the earthly viewpoint of the story. But you know people, and I know people that sing Christmas carols, who sing Christmas songs, who know the story of Jesus, but yet they're still in the darkness. To know the story of Jesus and his birth is also to understand who he is and why he came. And so when you go to the book of John, in the beginning of the book of John, we find out why this Messiah, Jesus, came to fill in the gaps of the story, because it's more than a story. If you turn with me this morning, what is it? This evening. I told myself like four times, don't do that. Turn with me to John chapter 1. If you got a Bible, it's page 886, a Bible close to you. John chapter 1. And I'm just going to take two verses. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it's a beautiful picture. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So it identifies Jesus as the Logos, God himself. And then you get to verse 4 and 5, and we find out why Jesus came to a manger in Bethlehem. John says this: in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Kids, I know you've already finished school. Hopefully you made some good grades. Hopefully you made a good grade in English class. I'm going to take you to English class just for a minute. There's something interesting about that in verse 4 that you don't see very often. It says that Jesus was the life, and the light. That's a definite article, and I know I'm putting you to sleep, and it's nighttime. Usually sentences don't have two definite articles. They usually only have one. This one has two. It's the life and the light, the light. You see, Jesus is both the life and the light, means that you can use those two terms interchangeably. You could either say that Jesus is the life that was light of men, or that he was the light who was life. They both apply to Jesus. And so here's your thought. While you and I were spiritually dead, Christ comes to give you spiritual life. That's what 1 John chapter 5 says. It says, he who has the Son has the life, spiritual life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Why do you need life and light? Look at the rest of it. There's darkness. See, Jesus came to bring light and life to our spiritual darkness. The scripture says that we were dead in our trespasses and sin. It says we were in darkness, that we didn't seek after his light on our own, that we were the cricket in the dark, that we ran from the light. See, Jesus came to bring light to our spiritual darkness. English class one more time. In verse 5, look at the tense of the word shine. Is it the light shined, past tense, or will shine? No, it says the light shines, present tense. That means that it's still shining. And what happens when light shines in the darkness? The light overcomes the darkness. You see, darkness is only the absence of light. This is the way Jesus overcomes it. It's interesting when you go a few chapters later in the book of John, you see this theme in the book of John as Jesus being the life and the light. You get to chapter 7 of the book of John, and you're at in Jerusalem. Jesus is in Jerusalem, and they're at the Feast of Booths. Anybody know what the Feast of Booths was? Old Testament Israel was remembering and celebrating how God in the wilderness at night gave them a fire by night, a pillar of fire by night to guide them through the wilderness. And so in Jesus' day, they celebrated this festival, this Feast of Booths. And on the last night, what would happen is the young priest would go and put oil in the lamps in the treasury of the temple, all the way around the treasury of the temple, and gather all the people, and they would light these different lights. So it illumined the temple. It was a beautiful picture. And Jesus is there. And what does Jesus say about himself in that context, in that setting? Do you remember? John chapter 8, he says this, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Isn't that beautiful? So why did Jesus come to a manger in Bethlehem? Was it just a pretty story? No. See, Jesus comes to illumine for us who he is. He comes to call us to follow his illumined path. He comes to expose the darkness for what it is, the darkness of our sin. And he comes to bring life from death. He comes to bring light to our darkness. He comes to die for the darkness in your heart and in my heart, my sin and your sin, and be raised anew to bring you and me new life. Do you know that truth tonight? Many of you come as people who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus. And maybe you got drug here by a family member because you're here for Christmas. I don't know. Have you trusted in the only light in the darkness of your heart, in the darkness of this world, that can bring you life, real spiritual life, and real spiritual light? Your Christmas takeaway tonight is this: Jesus' light provides real life. Let's walk in it. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for Christmas. Let it not be an empty ritual that we come here year after year to remember what happened a couple of thousand years ago, but let it penetrate our hearts tonight. Would your Spirit do a work to remind us of the sole place where light comes from, where life comes from? Would you do a work in our hearts that maybe we've been crawling back to the darkness, even as believers in Jesus, and when we turn the light on, it hurts our eyes a little bit? Would you do a work in the recesses of the darkness of our hearts to bring us back into the light, that we might walk in the light as he is in the light? In Jesus' name, amen.